And we're holding on Chof Zayin Amud Bey's 11 lines from the bottom, middle of the Mishnah. We started talking about a number of drushas that were said boy by yoim on the day when, on the day or during the period when Gamliel was deposed as Nasi and Rabbi Elazar ben Azari was appointed. So we had one drusha from Rabbi Akiva or two drushas from Rabbi Akiva about the Soita, which is why it comes in our Masechta. And then the Mishnah had digressed to mention a number of other drushas of his. So now here's another one, not from Rabbi Akiva, but from one of his, from a Talmud named Rabbi Yeshua ben Hurkanos. Now you have Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanos. This is Rabbi Yeshua ben Hurkanos, and later on Rabbi Yeshua called regular Rabbi Yeshua ben Hanania calls him a Talmud of Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai. So evidently he's not a brother of Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanos, because he belongs to a later generation. Apparently, he could, of course, be somehow from the same family, a nephew or a great nephew or whatever of Rabbi Eliezer, or even a grandson. It says that Rabbi Eliezer had a son named Hurkanos. But it's also possible, of course, that he was just unrelated, and the name Hurkanos was just a common name back then. Anyway, Boy Bayoim Darish Rabbi Yeshua ben Hurkanos. On that day or during that period, Rabbi Yeshua ben Hurkanos gave a drasha as follows: Iyev served Hashem only out of love. You have, of course, the serving Hashem out of love and out of fear. Now, of course, you know, when you have Alpi Kabbalah, Alpi Chassidus, you have tremendous levels of love and fear. But the most basic one is that love would be the person is doing because he wants to be close to Hashem, and fear would be, it could be, for example, where he's fearful that Hashem would punish him if he doesn't, or it could be a higher level of fear, which is like he's afraid to disobey Hashem because he realizes the effect it'll have on his neshama, or because even he's embarrassed. You have higher levels of yira even where he's embarrassed to act in a certain way in front of Hashem. Whatever the case, the point is Rabbi Yeshua ben Hurkanos is saying that Eov's level of serving Hashem was out of love. Shanema, as the pasuk says, "Hein yiktaleni loy ayach." He says, even if Hashem will kill me, still I will hope for him. So in other words, he's saying that so I'm never going to separate from Hashem. I'm still going to look forward to being close to Hashem. So obviously then he's not doing Yira. He's not doing from fear, at least from the lowest level of Yira, fear of punishment, because on the contrary, he's saying no matter what, even if Hashem punishes me, I'm still going to stay close to Hashem. V'adayin adavar shokol, but Rabbi Yeshua ben Hurkanos goes on to say, still though, the way the pasuk is phrasing it, it seems a little bit ambiguous. You could still say one way or the other. The word in the pasuk is loy ayachel, but you actually have a kriyuksiv over there. Loy, it's written loy with an aleph, and it's pronounced loy with a vav. So what does it mean then? So loy ani mitzape or any mitzape. Does he mean that I will continue to look forward to being close with Hashem, even though he's punishing me? Or does he mean I will not? He's saying, in other words, that at that point I'm going to give up on being close to Hashem because he's punishing me and making life difficult for me. So what would it be? A couple of Achronim talk about the possibility that maybe you could say the Gemara is not really focusing so much on the Kriyuksiv, but rather it's focusing more on is he saying it as a statement or as a rhetorical question? So he's saying loy with a vav to him, but is he saying it? He may be saying it as a statement. If he's killing me, should I continue to look forward to him? Or is he saying that, no, I will, as a statement, I will continue looking forward to him? Well, Rabbi Yeshua ben Hurkanos continues, Talmud Loimar, therefore the pasuk continues, a different pasuk that Eev says in one of his speeches, Ad Egva, until I die, loy osir tu mosi mimeni, I will not take away my tmimus, my wholesomeness that I follow Hashem holy, I won't take that away from myself. So we see now that's obviously a statement that you can't say is a question or anything like that. And there's no kriyoksiv over there. Malamed shemay ava osa. Therefore, that teaches us that the earlier pasuk also means that Eiv was serving Hashem out of love rather than out of fear. So like we had before, the reason why now usually we in the Mishnah so far we've been bringing in drushes from. We've been bringing in drushes from Rabbi Akiva. I mean, many people were saying drushes at that time, and the Mishnah is not bringing them in. But since this one, Rabbi Yeshua's reaction to it was similar to his reaction to one of Rabbi Akiva's drushes before. Therefore, the Mishnah brought it in. So, Omer Rabbi Yeshua. So, Rabbi Yeshua. This is Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya says, "Mi yigala ofa meinecha Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai." Like he said before, if only someone could take away the dust from your eyes, Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai. In other words, if only you could have tchias amesim right now and see what's going on. So he said, "Dorish koyamecha." You used to darshan during your lifetime. Shalei oved iev samakim ela miyira. That iev served Hashem only out of fear. Because after all, the pasuk says Shenema Ishtam right away at the beginning of Sefer Iyov when it introduces him. It says Ishtam v'yosher. He was an upright and wholesome person. Yirei Alekim, who feared Hashem, v'sor meira, and stayed away from evil. So that implies, in other words, that he was staying away from evil only because he feared Hashem rather than because he loved Hashem. So that was your drosher of Yechem and Zakkai, but now you should see, V'alo Yeshua, Talmud Talmidcha, now you have Yeshua ben Hurkanus, who was a Talmud of your Talmidim. Now, unlike Rabbi Akiva, who we had in the Mishnah earlier, Rabbi Akiva, he called a Talmud of Rabbi Yechem and Zakkai, even though technically he was a Talmud of a Talmud as well, he learned by Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, but Rabbi Akiva was so great that Rabbi Yeshua called him out of respect a Talmud of Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai. But here we're talking about Yeshua ben Hurkanus, who was a much lesser level. So therefore, he calls him properly a Talmud of your Talmud. Anyway, so he's teaching Shemei Ava also that Eiv served Hashem out of love, going against what you said out of fear. So either, in other words, Rabbi Yeshua is saying that he's so impressed that Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai, if only you were alive to see this, or he's saying not so much impressed, but he's saying like, you know what, Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai, if only you were alive to defend your position, because here you have Rabbi Yeshua ben Hurkanus saying differently, and you yourself actually would have said something different, and you would have defended how you said. Marsha refers over here, by the way, to something that he talks about in Bava Basra. In Bava Basra, it talks about where the Gemara has the expression that it's great that what it says about Eiv is greater than what it says about Avraham, because by Avraham, Hashem tells him ki yirei lekim ata, whereas by here you have tom v'yoshu yirei lekim v'sor meira, which is more compliments. Marisha explains, of course, Avraham is greater than Eiv. There's no question Avraham served Hashem out of love, whereas here we're saying with Eiv, we're saying either it was out of fear, like Rabbi Yechem and Zakkai said, or even if it was out of love, we're only learning it, it's not so simple to understand that. On the other hand, the fact that it says, Godol Shenema B'Eiv, Yosem Avraham, very simple. By Eiv, it's talking about in third person, in narration, so then it can say all his advantages by Avraham. It's Hashem speaking to him after the Akedah, and therefore you can only say Mitzas Shvacha, as we know. It's not that the Gemara there is saying that Eiv is actually greater than Avraham, but more is said about him because there it was said in person. But whether it was Me'av or Me'ira, that's the two different opinions over here. Okay, so the Gemara starts off. We said in the Mishnah, the first drasha in the Mishnah was Keshem Shamayim Bodkin Oisa Kachamayim Bodkin Oisoi. Just as the water tests the soita, so it tests him. So the Gemara asks Oisoi Laman, which him is the Mishnah talking about? Ilema Labal, do we mean that the water tests the husband as well? And in other words, that if the wife is guilty, then he also, his stomach swells up and so forth. Why should that be? Baal my oven, what did the husband do wrong? The chitema. So you're going to answer. Maybe what Mishnah means is the isbe oven badile maya. Maybe you could say it means that if the husband has an avera, Which again, you have the Machlokas Rashi and Rambam that we've talked about earlier in the Masechta. What kind of Aveda of the husband would prevent the Sota water from taking effect? According to Rashi, it's just if he had relations with her after she became a Sota. If it's according to the Rambam, it's any if he ever did any Bias Asuras. Anyway, you're going to say that maybe it means that if he has such an Aveda, Badkile Maya, maybe the water then will test him and will have an effect on him. There's an interesting idea. Now, why should that be? Why should, just because he had relations with a Sota or had Bias Asuras or whatever, why does the Gemara even think that that should have the severe consequences of his stomach swelling up and his thigh falling off and him dying or whatever? And the reason is because, after all, if he did that, and therefore because he did that, the Sota water was not going to work, and yet he brought his wife anyway as if it's going to work and caused Hashem's name to be erased. So the Gemara is thinking that maybe it should have an effect on him. Maybe he deserves to be punished. Yeah. No, we're not talking about Eve. Now we're talking about the husband of the site. So the question is, ki ispe oven bididei mi badkila maya lidida. The question is, okay, it's a svara, but after all, if he did an avera, would the water even test her? So what are you going to say? Kishem shamayim bod kenosa, kachamayim bod kenosa. Just as they test her, they test him, implying, in other words, that it has an effect on him, only if it's going to have an effect on her. But if he did such an avera that prevents the mei sota from working, then it's not going to work for her either. Well, Tanya, we learn in a braisa. The pasuk says, "V'nika ha'ishmei oven." The man will be cleansed of guilt. V'ha'isha he tisa'as avona, and that woman will bear her guilt. The symbol meaning of the pasuk, Rashi explains, is that when she dies as a result of the sota procedure, if she was guilty, the husband shouldn't feel bad that he caused her death. He's innocent of any wrongdoing because he did the right thing by being mekaneh to her and whatever, and she's the one who bears the consequences. But we also dashin from it. Bizman sho ish menukah me'oven, only when the husband is cleansed of guilt. Ha'isha he tisas hamayim bizman sho ish menukah me'oven hamayim bod kenas ishto. Only then does the water test his wife. Eina ish menukah me'oven, but if he's not cleansed of guilt, if, as Rashi says, he's had relations with her at one point when he wasn't supposed to. Or as the Rambam says, if he's had any bias asuras ever since he became an adult, then if he's ever had any bias asuras, then if he's not menukamah and ain't amayim bod kenas ishto, then the water doesn't test his wife. So obviously the Mishnah can't mean oisoi, referring to the husband, because why should either we should say the husband shouldn't deserve any punishment at all, or even if he does, fine, he may deserve a punishment, but his wife is not getting the punishment, and the Mishnah is saying that it's equal. When she gets it, then he gets it. But if it's not working, if the mei sota is not working for her because of his averus, then it's not going to work on him either. So you're going to say that the Mishnah means that the boil, that the one that she was alone with, and apparently if the mei sota has an effect on her, then he was mezana with her. So you're telling me that the water is also going to cause him from long distance to also suffer the same consequences.
What would bring her if he did have ears?
The point, no, we don't know for sure that she did. That's the whole point. The sota process is to see whether she did or not. So now we're saying, right, so we're saying that's what we're saying. So we're saying that now we're going to say the oisoi of the Mishnah refers to the boil. If in fact she's guilty, then the boil is going to suffer the same consequences. Well, the Gemara says, listen, kidikatani sefer. Well, then let the Mishnah use the expression like it does in the sefer. Kashem shasur la baal kachasur la boil. Just as later in the Mishnah, it clearly uses the word boil. So he also should say kashem shamayim boit ken oisa kach boit ken as a boil, and then we don't have the question in the first place who the oisoi is. Why is the Mishnah using the word oisoi, which now is ambiguous, and you have to figure out whether it means the husband or the boil? Yeah. So the one answer is well, olam la boil. In fact, it does mean that the boil is going to suffer the consequences. But I need a ton of oisa. But because the Mishnah used the word oisa, tani oisoi, therefore to go together with oisa, it uses oisoi. Safer. The idea to turn a bow, but on the safer, since it uses the word the husband, turn a boil, so it mentions boil, because in other words, again, the Mishnah was baal peh, and therefore, as much as possible, it tries to use the lotion in a way that people will be able to remember. So oisa goes with oisai, and baal goes with boil. But in fact, both parts of the Mishnah are referring to the same man, that the water tests him, and she is also to him, the boil.
I heard someone saying that they used to learn Gemara with Nigun and with the rhyming.
So there is that also. They would learn Mishnayos with a Nigun, and therefore they have to make sure that the words are not changed too much, right? Okay. Right. So now we said in the Mishnah, Shenema Uvo'u Uvo'u. So we said that, how do we know that the water has an effect both on her and on the boil? Because the pasuk says Uvo'u Uvo'u. So now the question is, do we mean the fact that it says twice in the psukim the word uvo'u, or you have one once where the kohen warns her and says uvo'u, this water will come into your stomach and have an effect if you're guilty, and then a few psukim later uvo'u they will come into her and they'll have an effect, does the Mishnah mean that, or does the Mishnah mean the fact that it could have said bo'u and it said uvo'u with the extra vav? So ibo'u. That's the question. Is the Mishnah deriving this concept that just as the water tests her, so it tests the boil? Is it learning it from the fact that it says that it could have said bo'u and instead it said uvo'u? Or is it the fact that it says twice, sir, that it says twice uvo'u? So the Gemara says Toshma. Well, the Mishnah continues. Kishem sha'asur la'ba'al kachasur la'boil shenem nitma of vidnitma. Well, the continuation of the Mishnah is just as she's also to the husband, so she's also to the boil. And because it says nitma of nitma, meaning it could have said nitma and instead it said vidnitma with a vav. So therefore, so that shows that further, that shows that the next drasha in the Mishnah, at least Rabbi Akiva's drasha, is learning from the vav. So the same thing, we could assume that the original drasha is also based on the extra vav. Well, the Gemara asks, actually, with that one also, you have to ask, v'adayin tiboy, really, you still have the question, nitma'a, does Rabbi Akiva mean we're learning from the fact that it says the word nitma'a twice, or nitma'a v'nitma'a karma? So this is the kind of thing the Gemara sometimes calls arvach arvat sarich. Your guarantor needs his own guarantor. You're trying to prove from the second case of the Mishnah, from the second drosha in the Mishnah, that we're doubting from the Vav. But actually, is that drosha in fact from the Vav, or is it rather from the fact that it says nitma twice? And in that case, maybe the first one is also from the fact that it says vo twice. So the Gemara says, Toshma, well, we can answer that. Midikotani Sefer, because the Mishnah continues, after it brings Rabbi Akiva's drosha about Kashem Shasur Labal Kachasur Laboil, and Rabbi Yeshua in the Mishnah points out, you should know that Zachariah ben Akatzav learned the same way as Rabbi Akiva. But then the Mishnah goes on to say Rabbi Omer, Shnei Pa'om Amurim Parasha, V'nitma of Nitma, the fact that it says twice in the Parasha, the word nitma means echa the baal, the echa the boil. So one teaches us that she's also to the husband, and the other that she's also to the boil. So therefore, if that's how Rebbe is darshining, miklal de Rabbi Akiva vavi kadorish. That implies, therefore, that Rabbi Akiva must be darshining the vavs, because otherwise there's no difference between his drosha and Rebbe's. So it must be that, in fact, that is the point. Rebbe is darshining from the fact that it says v'nitma twice. Rabbi Akiva is darshining from the fact that it could have said nitma, and it said v'nitma, so he's not darshining for this purpose, the extra nitma. So the Gemara is going to deal with the Gemara is going to deal with now how Rabbi Akiva learns, how Rabbi Akiva versus Rebbe are going to learn the various psukim, what they're going to douche in from each one.
Because one has an extra.
Because one has an extra above and the other one has an extra whole word, nitma, yeah.
But they both agree that the word is extra.
Right, well, that's what we have to figure out, right? So, yeah, but the point is, in other words, so now we have our answer. In Rabbi Akiva's second drasha about Kashem Shasur Labal Kahasur Labal, clearly he's learning from the extra Vav, because otherwise he's saying exactly the same thing as Rebbe. Therefore, that tells us that earlier in the Mishnah, when he says Kashem Shamayim Bodkin Oisa, Kachamayim Bodkin Oisa, it must be that also he's learning from the extra Vav rather than from the extra time that it says Uvav. So, the Gemara says, Hilkoch, so it comes out, Rabbi Akiva, Shita Kroi Ksibi. It comes out, therefore, that according to Rabbi Akiva, the fact that it said that according to Rabbi Akiva, there are six uvo'us that we have to learn with. Because actually, besides for the two uvo'us that we mentioned before, there's actually a third uvo'u that it says in the psukim over there, because actually the Kohen himself, So you have in the psukim three times it says uvo. So like this, you have the kohen warns her, The Kohen warns her, these waters will come into your stomach. Then you have a couple of psukim later it says when he gives her the drink, the water that brings the curse will come into her stomach and be bitter and have its effect. And then after it mentions about bringing the Korban Mincha, it says if she's tame, then the water will come into her and with some sabitna and so forth. So three times it says uvo'u, and since Rabbi Akiva holds that you dash in the vobs each time, then it means according to him you have six things to work with. So why do we need three times uvo'u and then three and then the three vobs? So Rabbi Akiva would say like this: chad l'tzavadida, one of them teaches us that Hashem is commanding the water to have its effect on her. And v'chad, and the extra vav on that one, of tzavadidei, is that Hashem is also telling the water to tell us that Hashem is also telling the water also have that same effect on the boil, even though he's not the one who drunk it. So one uvo is teaching us that Hashem is telling the water. How does the water work after all? It's only because Hashem tells anything in the world works only because Hashem tells it to do such and such. Hashem put a certain nature into it. Here we're talking about something l'mayla m'derech hateva, even especially that it should have an effect on the boil when he didn't even have any contact with the water.
Hashem has to tell us to do that.
No, Hashem has to tell the water. Hashem has to tell everything. Everything in the world happens only because Hashem commands it. So it was saying over here that in other words, Hashem gave a special command. This water that's prepared according to the rules that we learned earlier, should that Hashem tells that water go have an effect on that woman because she sinned. And then the Vav teaches us that Hashem is telling the water to do the same thing to him. Next, Chad li dia dida. The next one you have. Then you have a second uvo'u. The second uvo'u teaches us that the water will have that effect on her. So the Torah is telling us not only that, so the Torah is telling us, Hashem says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. So therefore, so that teaches us that it's actually going to have that effect on her. And again, under the vav over there is telling us it will also have that effect on him.
Two vavs, one that it will happen, that will happen.
No, one that Hashem is saying it will happen, and another one to show that it actually happens. So you know, it's not. You have many times in Sukkim, for example, where Hashem says, you know, such and such will happen. Ani Hashem dibarti, or something to that effect. We have to stress sometimes that we have to know that Hashem says something is going to happen. It's going to happen. So Rabbi Akiva darshins that way. Then you have Chad. Then the third pasuk is liyadia dida, is that the kohen has to inform the woman before he gives her the water, and in particular, what he has to inform her is. Tosfos explains he has to inform her about the order in which the mei sota is going to work. We talked about earlier in the Masechta that even though the kohen when he beswears her, he tells her that it will. He mentions that it'll cause it'll affect the thigh and then the stomach. But in fact, it affects the stomach first and then the thigh, because after all, it goes into the stomach and only then it spreads to the rest of the body. So he has to inform her of that point. Shaloi lahotzi laz, because you don't want her to question the effectiveness of the mayim amarim and say even as things are happening that it's all a coincidence or something. People are very good at rationalizing. So yeah, we learned it with you in the Masechta. I mean, on the one hand, the Yerech is the one involved in the Aveira first, because first she spreads her leg to make herself available to the boil, and only then is on her beten. But on the other hand, when the water, so therefore that's why at one point he mentions the Yerech first, but on the other hand, it actually goes through the beten first. So the Kohen has to inform her of that point. V'chad, and then another one has to tell us the idea d'day, that the kohen also has to inform her that the same thing is going to be for the boil, that he also, if she's guilty, then the water is going to affect him in the same way, stomach first, then thigh. The Ramaphoshim will explain that actually it doesn't so much mean that he has to inform her. I mean, she's going to die anyway. What do we care if she's Motzi Laz? The point is rather that the Marshal says that it means that we inform everybody who's standing. We want them to be aware that it happened in the order that's going to happen in a certain order, so that they're not moitzi laz. Okay, so Rabbi Akiva says that's what we use all those six things, the uvo'us and all the vavs, we use them for that. So one, So one set. So again, people are very good at rationalizing.
People are watching, they know exactly what's happening in Sinatra's.
I know, but nevertheless, you need to inform them, even though he mentioned in the curse, Yerech first, he has to inform them that actually it's going to be Latzvis Bet and Volanto Yerech, that it's going to be in the order of stomach first, then thigh. Otherwise, they might try to rationalize it away. In short, according to Rabbi Akiva, we've used all three uvos and all the vavs. Each of the vavs teaches us the same effect on the boil, and the three of them are one that Hashem says it's going to happen, a second one that it actually happens, and a third one that we inform them of the order in which it's going to happen. The Rebbe, now Rebbe, who doesn't darsh in the vavs, he says tlosak roiksivi. He says you only have three psukim. So chad l'tzavav, chad l'asiyah, v'chad l'yidiyah. So he holds each of them is referring to her. That Hashem says that the water is going to have an effect on her. The water does in fact have an effect on her, and the kohen has to inform her, or as the Maharshal says, the bystanders that this is the order it's going to happen.
How we know it's going to happen to him?
So the Rebbe k'shem shamayim bod kenosa kach bod kenosa manole. Well, where is Rebbe learning that concept from? Then that the water has an effect on him. The answer is nafgalei mitanya. He learns it on a different basis. This that it says in a brisa, when it says, when the kohen warns her that the water is going to come into you, lots by sbetin, v'lan pil yorich, to make the stomach swell and the thigh fall off. So that means, bitna v'yerecha shel boil, that refers to the stomach and the thigh of the boil. Now, after oimer bitne v'yerecha shel boil, so you're saying it means that, oyena el bitne v'yerecha shel nivelas, maybe it means her stomach and her thigh, which after all is how it seems from the context of the pasuk. No, true oimer, since it says a few psukim later, but subsa bitne v'nafla yerecha, it says her stomach will swell and her thigh will fall off, hare bitne v'yerecha shel nivelas omer. So there already it says that it's going to happen to her. Umani makayim lots besbet and v'lan pil yorech. So what do we do with the words lots besbet and v'lan pil yorech? Must be bit nevirech and shall boil. That it teaches us that that affects the boil as well. So you don't need, according to Rebbe, you don't need a bunch of different psukim to teach us that Hashem says it's going to happen and it's going to happen and the Kohen has to warn. Once it says that it's happening to him like it happens to her, then automatically we don't have to have all the extra vavs to teach us that to say that the same warning and everything is given regarding him. Rashi actually brings this drasha of Rebbe's in the pasuk. A lot of times, and Mefoshim on Rashi point out that many times Rashi on the pasuk will bring a drasha, even though it's not a libur de hilchasa. The halacha is usually the halacha would be like Rabbi Akiva against Rebbe. Here I don't know if it's negeila halacha because it's different drashas, but whatever. Anyway, many times though on Chumash, Rashi will bring the drasha that's more straightforward, even though it's not necessarily the one that's accepted la halacha. So here, to understand the way Rebbe does that bitna v'yerei, that beten and yerech means the ones of the boil, is a lot more straightforward and it's easier for ben chomish l'mikra, and therefore Rashi does that.
Rabbi Akiva came first.
Rabbi Akiva came first, but that's neither here nor there. The usual rule is halacha k'Rabbi Akiva mechavei roi. The halacha is usually like Rabbi Akiva against an individual tana. So the Gemara asks v'idach. Well, what is Rabbi Akiva doing with those words bet and v'yerech? Where again, Rebbe is saying from there we learn that it affects the boil because he's not learning from the vavs. Rabbi Akiva, who learns that concept from the vavs, then what does he do with this pasuk? So the answer is demoida la koyin. That would be, we said before, Rabbi Akiva says you have to inform the koyin. The koyin has to inform her, or he has to inform everybody else, de beten beresha v'hoder yerech, that first the stomach is going to be affected, and then the yerech, shalo lahoitzi laz amayim amorim, in order that people don't question the effectiveness of the mayim amorim and say that it's just that's just coincidental. So therefore, so he says that's why you have the repetition of the words beten and yerech. So one teach tells us the kohen informs her or informs the bystanders that this is going to be the order, and the other one is that it actually happens in that order. V'idach.
It's very hard. Normally people don't have their stomachs fall out and the yerech fall out. So but obviously it's happening because everyone's standing watching this whole business.
Nonetheless, though, people are very good at rationalizing things and coming up with excuses when people want an excuse to be able to justify what they're doing. You have a similar thing, for example, it says about Makas Bechoris, you know, Moshe tells Parik, Kachat Sois Alayla, and the Gemara explains, because Shem eats that. It's Dagnine Paroi, because Paroi is a astrologer, might make a mistake and they might think it's not exactly Chatzos, and they're going to think that Moshe is a liar. the Mefoshim ask on that what? I mean, every single thing up until now has been happening exactly as Moshe said. And now all the Bechorim are dying, which is something supernatural. And they're going to say that Moshe is a liar because they think it happened at 12:01 rather than 12 o'clock. But the answer is people are very good at rationalizing. People will grasp onto any straw to be able to, yeah. So therefore, we don't want to leave them any out. Okay. So the Idach, now what does Rebbe answer to that? It's true. We do have to inform them that it happens in that order so they're not motzi laz. So Rebbe says, fine, but in Cain, lichtiv kura, bitna v'yerecha. In that case, the pasuk should have said her stomach and her thigh. Why does it say beten and yerech generically? That means my beten v'yerech, shmamina, and laboil. So therefore, that must be the pasuk is teaching us there about the boil. Fine. But the Gemara asks, maybe though the pasuk is only talking about the boil, how do we know that? How do we know it's teaching us anyway about the order in which it works? Maybe it's just teaching us purely the fact that without that, according to Rebbe, we wouldn't even know that the boil is being affected. The answer is, just the opposite. Well, then it could have said his stomach and his thigh. My bet in the yerech, therefore, Rebbe says you can learn both things from that. The fact that it says bet in yerech generically, we can learn. Therefore, it means both her bet in and yerech and his. Therefore, we can learn that it means hers, and it means that we inform her it's going to, we inform all the bystanders that it's going to be in that order. And then also, it also refers to his, that it's going to happen to him as well. So Rebbe would say we don't need separate psukim for that. The fact that it says beten and yerech like that, rather than saying bitno and or bitnoi and yerecho or yerechoi, teaches us that it applies to both of them. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Omer Rabbi Yeshua kachoy adorish Zechariah cholot Zechariah ben Akatzav darishin in the same way as Rabbi Akiva. That we learn from the extra vav of a nitma. So that's that. So okay, so we've taken care of the matter of kashem shamayim bod kun oisoy kachamayim bod kun oisoy. We've explained how Rebbe and Rabbi Akiva use the various psukim for the drushes. They both agree with that concept that the boil is affected. They just argue how we derive from the psukim. Again, ultimately, we're saying Rabbi Akiva is darshaning it from extra vav, and Rebbe instead is darshaning it from the words beten and yerech, which we could say are teaching us that as well as that we inform her. And we inform everybody else about the order.
Now, this is Chaya came after Rabbi Akiva.
Chaya ben Akatzav was a little bit before Rabbi Akiva. He lived at the time of the Churban. Rabbi Akiva also lived through the Churban, but he wasn't yet one of the great Chachamim at that time yet. So Rabbi Yeshua is informing Rabbi Akiva and everybody else. You should know this Jerusha that you just said. Chaya ben Akatzav already said it before. But then the Mishnah continued that. So actually, that's in connection with the second Jerusha in the Mishnah. Again, we had. First, the Mishnah had said, Keshem Shamayim Bodkin Oisa, Kachamayim Bodkin Oisa, and we learned from the extra vav of Uvo, as we said, Rabbi Akiva learns, which now, by the way, now that the Gemara has said that Rabbi Akiva is darshaning both all the times it says Uvo and the extra vavs, now we can say that when the Mishnah is saying, Shanema Uvo, Uvo, it really means both. The fact that it says Uvo extra times and the fact that it says vavs. Yeah. Anyway. But then we said, Kashem Shah Sir Labal, Kach Sir Laboil, because it says Nitma of Nitma, Divrei Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Yeshua says that you should know Rabbi Chaim and Akatzav Darshan in the same way, and Rabbi learns differently because it says Nitmis Vinitma. So, turn on Abonon, so we learn in a Braisa, Sholosh Pam Hamurim Baparsha Im Nitma. Sholosh Pam Hamurim Baparsha. There are three times it says in the Parsha the concept of her being Tomei. Im Nitma, first you have the Gemara is bringing the psukim. The Gemara is bringing the psukim out of order. The first one is the last one in the psukim. Im nitma. If she became tamei, then the water affects her. That's later on in the parak. The second one is Nitma, is earlier on where it says where he warns her where she may have become Tomei or not. And the third one is Vinitma. The third one is that these are the rules when a woman is Mizana and becomes Tomei. So three times it says Vinitma. Three times it says Nitma or Vinitma. Rashi also adds there is actually a fourth one. There is actually Vinistir Abihinitma, but there Rashi says we're not counting that one because that one that Rashi says earlier in the Mishnah, we're not including that one Because that one we use back in the first perek to teach us that that if there was one aid that says that she became tamei, then that's it. She doesn't drink the soda water, and she's also to her husband. So therefore, so we have three other v'nitmas that we need to darshan. So the kineas ishta v'nitma, v'hoisem nitma, and ashatista isha tachas isha v'nitma. So those are the three. So what are we doing with all of those? Lama, so what do we have all of them? Echad the baal, v'echad the boyo, v'echad the truma, divir Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva says, one teaches us that she's also to her husband once she becomes a soita. One teaches us that she's also to the boil, and the third one teaches us that she's also to eat truma at this point, even if her husband is a koyin, and or even if she's the wife of a koyin or whatever. The fact that now there's the potential that she had a bia asura makes her also to eat truma. So that's how Rabbi Kip learns. Om Rabbi Shmuel kava chaymer. But then Rabbi Shmuel says you don't need a pasuk that she would be asur. Now, Rabbi Shmuel seems to be talking about a separate thing. Rabbi Shmuel seems to not directly be addressing what Rabbi Akiva is saying. Rather, he's bringing up a separate point that we can make a kavah chomer that she would be also to marry a kohen. Meaning, if her husband were to die or divorce her at this point, after she becomes a soita, then Rabbi Shmuel is informing us that she would be also to marry a kohen. Now, what does that have to do with what? Well, if she's a grusha, fine. If she's an almana, rather, if her husband died, that she should be also to marry a kohen, because when he died, she was a soita. Rabbi Shmuel is now going to learn that from a kavah chomer. Now, what does that have to do with what Rabbi Akiva says? The Gemara is going to deal with that point later, how what Rabbi Shmuel is saying addresses what Rabbi Akiva is saying. So, but Rabbi Shmuel says, kavah chomer, uma grusha shemuteres l'truma, madach, a woman who was divorced is muter to go back to eating truma if she was a bas kohen, as we know that, if she had no children with the Yisrael, Asura lakona, but she's also to marry a kohen. Zusha asura b'truma. In this case, this woman is also to eat truma, as Rabbi Akiva is learning. Ein adin sha asura lakona. Wouldn't it be a kavachomer then that she's also to marry a kohen? That she's also to marry a kohen, even if her husband died rather than divorcing. And Rabbi Shmuel continues. Ma tamud loymar. So why does the pasuk says that the husband warns his wife and she had become tamei or she had not become tamei? So what does it mean? So im nitma, you have to ask, if we know that she's tamei, lama shoisa, then why is she drinking? The whole point of the water is to test and see by the way, Rashi brings over here that he had a girsa in front of him. Tosfos also brings this. Im kain matam leimar, but Rashi says that's not the im kain doesn't belong over here. We're not saying the im kain is not a continuation of what we were saying before. It's just we're not asking why it says extra nitmas. We're saying that we're going to go through over here and we're going to explain what the psukim means. In other words, it is a continuation of the Braisa, but it's not a continuation of Rabbi Shmuel's statement. It's rather now the Braisa is continuing generically to explain the meanings of the phrases in the pasuk. After that, we're going to get back to what Rabbi Akiva is learning from the three v'nitmas versus what Rabbi Shmuel is learning, and we're going to discuss the matter of the vobs over there as well. So matam adlemin v'hi nitma v'hi lo nitma im nitma lama shoisa. You have to ask, if we know that she became tamei, then why is she drinking? Im lo nitma lama mashka. And if we know she didn't become tamei, then why is he giving her the drink? The whole point is there's a suffix. So why does the pasuk phrasing it in a way v'hi nitma or v'hi lo nitma, which implies we know that she became tamei or we know she didn't become tamei? Those are precisely the cases when we don't give her the mei soda, because either we know because either there's not needed or either it's not needed, she's already tamei, or there's no reason to give it to her because we have no reason to suspect anything. So magid b'cha kasuv, therefore it means By the way, as far as Rabbi Shmuel's Kal v'Chomer, Tosfos points out, why don't we say? I mean, you could slog up. What is he saying? That a grusha is mutter to truma, but she's also to marry a kohen. So how much more so it's soita? So you could answer back. Listen, what about a bas yisrael? She's also to truma. Bas yisrael never got married is also to eat truma, but is mutter to marry a kohen. Fine. Tosfos says what Rabbi Shmuel means is that she's mutter to truma, but the result of the maisa of gerushin makes her also to the kohen. So then over here, also the maisa is what makes her also to is what makes her also to the kohen, as opposed to a bas yisrael. There was no maisa; she was born that way. Anyway. So what it is like this. Magid l'chah kosev shas sofek asura. This is where the posik is informing you that that she's also because of the sofek. Once there was kinui and stira, and now therefore we have a suffix, whether she became tomei, then the Torah is telling us to a certain extent to treat it as a vada. Now we often have we usually have a suffix d'oraisa as l'chumra. So Tosfos discusses some Tosfos and other Rishonim and Achronim discuss various possibilities, including maybe after all over here there was maybe the woman has a cheskas tara. On the other hand, we have Raglaim Ladovo. We said before that once there was Kinri and Stira, there was very strong reason to believe that something happened. And there is a Shitta of the Rambam that who says the whole concept of Suffolk Dora. So Tosfos learns, for example, when we say that we have to treat the Suffolk as a Vadai, is actually it means, for example, to the extent that the husband will be punished with Malkus, according to some opinions, if he has relations with her after she became a Soita. Like this, if we only said it's a suffix, we would say, look, okay, you know, fine, suffix d'oraisa v'chumra, but not necessarily to the extent that we would give him malchus. But now when we're saying the posik is telling us v'hini t'ma, v'hiloni t'ma, and we're telling us treat the suffix as a vadai, means even to the extent that the husband is going to be punishable if he now has relations with her.
You can't give him a drink anyway.
You can't give her a drink. But the point is, if he has relations with her after she becomes a soita, no, we're talking about there's a suffix. You can give her a drink. That's the whole point. We treat the suffix as a vadai to the extent that the husband is now completely also to her and she to her husband until she drinks the
soita. But he doesn't ruin it by having relations
with if her. He does, if he has relations with her, he ruins it. That's what we're saying. But then he's also punishable for those relations because he was over on that. So to that extent, we consider it like a vadai. We've talked about before. Some lumdus in it, for example, we don't completely treat it like a vadai. As far as dinim mominus, we don't treat it as a vadai. We said it, we learned a few days ago, it's only a suffix, so therefore she forfeits uksuba, but if she's toifus, then we said she could collect it, but whatever, at least for the purposes of Isser Beheter, we consider it like a vadai. The Rambam actually has a unique shitta. He says the whole concept of suffix d'oraisa b'chumra itself is d'rabbanan. Midaraisa, we wouldn't necessarily say because there's a suffix, we would treat it l'chumra. So therefore, according to him, what we're saying is in this case, the Torah itself is telling you treat the suffix as a vada, unlike in most cases. Anyway, so therefore, so the Torah is telling you that the suffix is also. When we can't, so therefore, so now the Braisa continues, mikanata don l'sheretz. From here, you can learn a Kal v'Chomer to teach about the case of a person with a sheretz, where a person is not sure whether he touched a sheretz. So you can derive the same kind of thing. You can make a Kal v'Chomer from a soita. Uma soita shall also be shogig kemezid. Madach, when it comes to a soita, where shogig is not like mezid, namely, if she had relations with shogig, she doesn't become also to her husband. The onus kirotzen, and similarly, onus is not like rotzen. After all, if she had relations, but onus, she would be mutter to her husband, unless her husband is a kohen, of course. And yet also a sofik kevadai, and yet we're saying the fact that she's a sofik soita is strong enough like a vadai. And again, we're saying that therefore the husband is completely also to her and he's punishable even for having relations with her and so forth. So then, sheretz also b'shoygig kemezid. So then with a sheretz, it doesn't matter whether a person touches a sheretz b'shoygig or b'mezid, b'onus k'rotzen. It doesn't matter whether he touched it b'onus or b'rotzen. Ein adin, she also b'sofik kevadai, how much more so that the sofik should be treated like a vadai, and therefore, in other words, if you have a suffix, whether you touched a sheretz, we're going to have to consider it like a vadai, and therefore you're going to be tomei, and any truma that you touch is going to become tomei, and so forth. Tosfos discusses over here that You have. On the other hand, we learned in Nazir about the concept of Tumas HaTahoim, where we say that they're a Suffolk. We don't treat it like a Suffolk. But okay, that's a Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. You can't slug up a Kavah Chomer based on Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. And then Tosfos goes on to discuss other points in it. Again, the Sota has Raglayim L'Dover, whereas the Sheretz does not. There is quite a bit of lumdus among Rishonim and Achronim about the exact details of the Kavah Chomer that the Gemara is learning over here. One point that they make is that with the Sota, even though we're calling it Tumah, really it's fundamentally more a matter of Isur rather than Tumah. So therefore, it doesn't have to be exactly similar to the Sheretz. It can be close enough for our purposes to make this Zerusha like that. So we're learning a Kavah Chomer like that, and we're learning from that a suffix of Tumah with the Sheretz is in fact also. By the way, as far as Shoigig, Rashi points out, we mean not only where she was Shoigig, we can also mean, and in fact, there was a Macholikas Aposkim, if she was Shoigig and he is Mazid, is she also to him? But anyway. She didn't know, but it actually points out you could also have the case where the man was shogeg. Suppose, for example, that his wife and an Eishes Ish were in the same house, and he meant to have relations with his wife, and instead he walked into the wrong bedroom and had relations with her, then she was shogeg, thinking that it was her husband. So that could be an example of shogeg. We say she's not also to her husband.
Yes, the word fucking.
Anyway, so the Braisa continues, Umi Mokim Shabasa. Well, from the same place that you're coming to learn from a Sota, and you're saying you're learning from that the concept of Tumah B'Suffolk, that we treat the Suffolk Sota as a Vadai Sota, we treat her as Vadai also to her husband, and you're learning a Kavah Chomer from that to learn that a Sheretz makes a person Tomei, even when there's a Suffolk, then in that case we can learn further. Ma Sota Rishus HaYochid, just like the Sota is by definition in a Rishus HaYochid, because it has to be a private area where there could be Stira. Af Sheretz Rishus HaYochid, the same way the suffix that will make a person Tomei from a Sheretz is only in Rishus HaYochid. This is where we have the concept of suffix Tumah Rishus HaRabim versus Rishus HaYochid. Comes from deriving it from here, from the Sota. So again, there is some discussion about this. I mean, in general, a Sota, of course, is a Rishus HaYochid because you have only her and the boil potentially. But you could actually have there are cases you could have where he warns her not to be alone with two men, and we still consider it, and then we still consider it to be a Sota if she's alone with the two of them. So you have there are certain exceptions, but by and large, the case of a Sota is Rishus HaYochid. And that's what we learned in Nazir, for example, that once you have three people in an area, then generally it's considered a Rishus HaRabim. Anyway, we can learn further. Uma Sota Dabash Yesh Bei Dasli Shal. Another point we can say that another point is that just like a Sota has the Das to be asked, it's possible to ask her what happened. Were you Mizana or not? Now, she may claim that no, and this is when we bring her to go through the Sota procedure. But the point is, she has the Das at least to be asked. Af Sheretz Dover Shiesh by Dasli Shol. So therefore, Sheretz also, when are we saying that Suffolk Tumah would make the person Tomei only if he has Das to be asked about? So for example, if you have, let's say, so in other words, the Suffolk would be about a person or Kalim or Taurus or whatever that a person was handling, where in principle you could ask him, so what happened? Did the Sheretz touch it or not? Now he himself may not know, but at least he has the Das to know whether he knows or not. As opposed to, for example, if you have, let's say, Kalim that was sitting over there in the suite, and then you have a Suffolk, whether a Sheretz touched it or not in the suite, that would be Rishus HaRabim, but you have Kalim that was sitting in a house, which was a Rishus HaYochid, and you have a Suffolk, whether a Sheretz touched them, the Kalim don't have Das Lishol. Therefore, the Suffolk, therefore they be Tohar. That's also alluding from the Sota. Yeah, because the concept of Suffolk Tumah Rishus HaRabim would apply only when Yesh Bei Das Lishol, but Rishus HaYochid would apply only when Yesh Bei Das Lishol.
And by her, by the Sota, we're asking her.
Well, in principle, we can ask her. I mean, she, after all, she can say, yes, I'm guilty. She could say, yes, I'm innocent, and then we take her to bring the Sota, and she may be telling the truth or not. But we're not focusing on whether they're telling the truth. The point is, can we even ask them? In other words, as opposed to a child or a keli or something like that. There are, by the way, there are achronim will point out that conceivably maybe a sota could be a child as well. After all, her father could have accepted kedushin on her behalf, and then her marriage is valid d'oraisa. So maybe, I mean, the fact is, if she's mezaneh, then on the face of it, she becomes also to her husband. On the face of it, we should have to do the sota procedure. We don't, even if she's a ketana. So there is discussion about that. Again, maybe it's not mapped 100% like the sheretz. So maybe we would say even a cotton to a certain extent, an older child has das lishol. The Gemara mentions elsewhere that you can have a das for this purpose. Doesn't mean the kind of das that we usually talk about after a boy is 13 or a girl is 12. Even a child younger than that has a certain degree of das, in particular lishol, to ask them, did you touch the sheretz or not? So therefore, the same thing could be over here. So mikan omru, based on this, the chacham, we said the basic concept. Mikan omru, dover sheyesh bedas lishol, when you have someone who is capable of being asked and giving a coherent answer, v'shas yachid sveika tomei, if the suffix tumor takes place in v'shas yachid, then because of the suffix they're tomei, v'shas rabim sveika toher, and if this happens in v'shas rabim, then the suffix is going to be toher, because again we have to compare it to the soita, and the soita almost by definition is going to be in v'shas yachid.
But how's the kelim? How is the kelim?
As opposed to the kelim, as opposed to the she'ein by das lishol, the kelim, for example, which has no das to be asked, ben v'shas yachid, ben v'shas rabim sveika toher. Whether we're talking about v'shas yachid or v'shas rabim, either way, as a result of the suffix, it's going to be toher, because again, it's not similar to the soita. It's not similar to the soita in that regard.
Why bring a kelim? No, you can't ask him.
That's the point. In other words, that's what we're distinguishing between das, yesh by das lishol, or ein by das lishol. It doesn't only affect a kelim. It would affect also a very small child. It would affect also a cheresh or a shoita or whatever. All of them are capable of becoming tomei, but because they're not das lishol, then the same rule applies. Tosfos discusses over here at some length a couple of ins and outs of this. One thing is that the Gemara elsewhere mentions the concept of suffix tumah b'shas rabim is a we learn it from a soita. So in other words, only in a place where there's stira possible, as opposed to Rosh Hashanah. But then why don't we say that she has a cheskas tara? And so Tosfos discusses maybe she doesn't have a, or in general, why don't we say the thing has a cheskas tara or the person has a cheskas tara? Why do we need to resort to suffix tumah b'shas rabim when we could just say they have a cheskas tara? And then Tosfos discusses the ins and outs of that a little bit, and then goes on to talk about the details of when we say that when you have three people, then you have suffix tumah as tohu. You do have some cases actually where you have three people in a place and you actually do say that suffix tumah is tumah. You have an example, for example, three women where you find a blood stain under one of them and all three of them might be suffix tumah. So Tosfos discusses the ins and outs of many such dinim. There's whole svarim that have been written on these matters of suffix about to analyze all these things of all these cases of suffix and chazaka and all that. Tosfos actually ends up saying the soita does have a cheskas tara, so therefore, at least when are you going to learn to say that suffix tumah b'shas rabim is tohor? Indeed, only if there's a cheskas tara. And that would apply even when ein by das lishol. So even you have a keli, for example, if that keli, for whatever reason, has lost its chazaka of tara, then you wouldn't necessarily say that it's tohor b'shas rabim. There's a lot more that could be talking about, a lot more lumdus about that, but yeah, we'll stop over here and we'll continue tomorrow, Bez Hashem, with getting back to the Braisa. Again, we had Rabbi Akiva learning from the words of Nitma'a that she's also that the three things that she's also to her husband, to the boil, and to eat truma. And Rabbi Shmuel is answering back with a Kabbal Chomer that tells us that she's also to marry a Kohen. What does one have to do with the other? So we'll take up that point tomorrow, Bez Hashem. Yeah, I know.